Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Lean Keys Real Talk, episode 214. This is a special episode. My boy T Wood is fighting on, I think it's on Sunday, which is kind of weird. But yeah, there's that Showtime, I want to say Showtime event going down this Sunday. Tyron Woodley's fighting Jake Paul is fighting Tyron Woodley. Put it that way. I think Woodley's the underdog. So yeah, we'll put it that way. Jake Paul is fighting Tyron Woodley in the main event, I think on Sunday at Showtime. So they're going to have a boxing match. Woodley's going to be crossing over to boxing. It's another chapter in this whole like crossover fight era that we've kind of entered into in the last 4 years. But yeah, we're going to get to that in a little bit. Lee, what's going on, bro? How you doing?
Oh man, I'm good, man. Just hanging in there, man. Kind of funny that I'm actually kind of excited for this fight. Yeah, it's kind of funny that I'm kind of excited for this fight. I mean, I'm really not excited about anybody on the undercard, but I'm just excited for this main event. And we'll get into the reasons why in a little bit. But how are you, bro?
Yeah, so I'll say this. I mean, I feel the same way. It's probably going to be one of those things where, you know, I'm not going to stream it. I'll probably order it. And if I can, my cable has been acting weird trying to, like, order straight pay-per-views lately, like, from my cable provider. It's been super weird with that. Luckily, you know, UFC pay-per-views are on ESPN Plus, and I can order those right on my Xbox. So that's been, you know, the real important events are fine. But every time they do one of these events, you know what I'm saying? The real important events. Exactly. Yeah. So. Yeah, you had the same thought.
Man, you know what's funny is I was thinking about going somewhere to watch it, but I'm probably going to stream it because, to me, I'm really not going to pay that money for one fight that I really care about. Now, if they had like two or three fights up there that I was interested in, I would think about ordering it. But no, I've been there, only got one fight that I care about. I'm just going to stream it.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, I actually see the Mac Life has Tyron Woodley's open workout is right in front of my eyes on Instagram right now. He's looking pretty good. I won't lie. He's looking pretty good. I'm watching. This is like 10 seconds of his clip that I'm getting to watch, 15, 20 seconds clip I'm getting to watch. He looks good. He looks fast. You know, I think one thing that is going to come into play here, and I think this is going to be a big factor, it could be really good for him, or it could be a downfall for him. I think it's going to be a good thing for him, is the fact that he's fighting closer to his actual weight. And that's something that me and you have talked about for a long time, is that we think that you've said it, and I've agreed with you, you know, for a while. We've come back to this because, you know, you see a lot of fighters passing out at the weigh-ins, and, you know, they're not able to fight because they can't, you know, put down 15 pounds. They were too heavy and this and that. And you said that for a long time. You think fighters should fight closer to their walk-around weight. And, you know, we've actually talked about Tyron Woodley because, you know, we've talked about him a lot on this show because he's, you know, one of my favorite fighters, probably my favorite UFC fighter, honestly. He's a guy that I have not become less of a fan of watching him lose. And that's because he hasn't like turned evil, you know, in his losses, where like somebody like Conor McGregor has kind of like become like he's gone so heel, he's really like the bad guy now. And it's like the more he loses, it's like he goes further into that, and it's just that doesn't make me want to like be that much more of a fan of him. You know, obviously I'm still a fan of him, but Woodley is a guy that, you know, he's lost and he's been graceful in his losses. And we all know recently he's been losing quite a bit. So, I mean,
yeah,
that, you know, it's definitely been tough to be a Tyron Woodley fan in the past, you know, four fights he's had. He lost his past four fights. It's definitely been tough to be a fan. He hasn't won a fight since he fought Darren Till, which that was in 2018. Yeah, that was, hold on 1 second. That was late 2018, and yeah, so he's lost every fight since. It hasn't been.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead.
No, the only thing I was going to say is, I think you was trying to say this. We being fight fans, we love to see a guy or a girl fight their way through the ranks. And when you see somebody fight their way through the ranks and they ultimately reach the pinnacle by becoming a champ, you can't help but admire that person for doing it the right way. Now, one of the things that I have questioned Tyron about is I think that once he became a champion, I didn't see the same guy in the octagon that I saw fighting for the belt. But when he won the belt, I was happy for him because he did it the right way. He didn't, you know, he didn't win one fight and politic for a title fight. He just beat everybody they put in front of him until he got the championship. So, you know, you can't help but be a fan of somebody like that. And, you know, even during this, his losing streak, you know, we have pointed out many times that he just refuses to do what got him to being the champion. I think that's what you was trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that I just, so my thing is that we also, me and you watched Woodley at different periods in time. I wasn't watching Woodley before he was the champion. I wasn't even watching the UFC. Well, I shouldn't say that. I wasn't watching during that period, but I was a UFC fan. When I came in was like Chuck Liddell, you know, made me a fan. I was playing the UFC video games, you know, back in 2009 on my Xbox 360. I was playing UFC Undisputed 09. And that was back when Shogun Hua was, you know, like a 98 overall in the game. Like he was at one of the best guys there was at that time. That's dating back to 2009. And, you know, I was a fan around that time.
You're probably a negative 98 now.
Yeah, exactly. So I was a fan around that time. And then, you know, I kind of fell off with the game and a lot of other stuff was going down. I wasn't aware of the UFC at all. And then Conor McGregor brought me back into the game. The McGregor-Aldo fight brought me back into the game. From that point, I've been watching again. But so what happened was, as a result of that, was that you were actively watching when Woodley was coming up as a contender. I wasn't watching at that period in time to see the difference in him. So I think that's why, you know, objectively speaking, why we had so many disagreements on him as a fighter was because I really knew champion Woodley. I knew him when he became a champion and then his title defenses, you know, and since. And then you knew him before, so you could see the differences where I didn't really have much to compare it to. I've watched his highlights. I've watched his fight back. You know, I've watched the Josh Koscheck fight back on YouTube. I've watched, you know, anything I could watch back. But, you know, you saw it live, and that's a different thing. So, you know, experience and try to go through, you know, the different competition as it was happening is a lot different than me just, you know, seeing the playback. So you have, you know, something to compare it to. I just knew champion Woodley. So basically, you know, I went from seeing him win over and over and over again, regardless of what, you know, people feel like with some of the wins and they were lackluster fights and et cetera, which, you know, some of them were, but either way, I was used to seeing him win and win and win and win and win, regardless of what the fight was like. And then now got used to seeing him lose and lose and lose and lose. So, but it didn't change the fact, you know, it didn't change my fandom of him. It didn't change my support. Now I was okay watching him lose. There was fights where I thought he would win, and then he lost, and then there was fights where I felt he would lose and he lost. and I've been honest about that. But every one of those times, I was rooting for him to win, regardless if I just objectively felt like I don't think this is his fight to win. This fight, we will get to it. We will get to that motion. I won't go into it at this right second, but we'll get into it shortly. We actually have a caller on the line right now. I want to jump into the call and see what they think about this topic.
Hello? Okay.
Yo.
Yo, what's going on, man? It's Rodney. I had to pull up, man.
Yeah, hold on, Rodney.
It's Rodney. Rodney Griffin, what's going on, man? As soon as I saw the announcement on Twitter, I had to tune in and say, what's up, man? I had to pop up real quick for old time's sake.
Man, that's what's up, bro. Rodney from Slick Talk. I hear you.
Yes, sir. I literally just got on the call. Now, this, are we talking about Paul versus Woodley, right?
Yeah, we're about to jump into it right now.
Yo, hold up. I just want to do a shout out. Rodney got the Slick Talk podcast. Go check him out, Slick Talk podcast. I just want to put that out there. He's a real one.
I'm gonna try to be back soon. I'm just working on some schedule with my co-host, man, because everybody working. So I'm trying to straighten that out. We'll be back soon. I know it's been a month, but everybody that watched the show, I got you. I promise. I miss being.
I'm still waiting on my invite.
Oh yeah, I got you. Once COVID start happening, I might start traveling and pull up on you, man.
Yeah, I know that's right. Well, I'm moving back east, man. Next summer, so you ain't gonna have to come too far. I'm moving back east next summer, back to North Carolina.
All right.
Yeah, but go ahead, Keys. Let's go, bro.
Yeah. So we were just talking about Rodney. Did you get to hear what I was just saying when you called in?
I didn't get the context.
Okay, so yeah, I was just kind of talking about Tyron Woodley because he's my favorite fighter before all this, but of course he's going to box Jake Paul in like 3-4 days. So yeah, we're kind of leading up talking about that fight, but I was just kind of like going into some backstory about Tyron Woodley. What do you think about the fight though?
Well, I actually did talk about this on the show when it first got announced. So look at that. But even though I'm not like a UFC specialist, I actually did like look at some footage on Tyron Woodley. Of course, I knew enough to know prior that Tyron's already like a big household name in UFC. So it's not like he's not experienced with hands. But as far as that one lane, like, of course, that is something that he has to, like, work on now. But since, like, Floyd Mayweather's in his corner, it's like that's also a nice addition to help him get ready for the fight. So now we got to see if Jake Paul is going to be able to handle that, because, like, he's already had pretty good form and good way of moving. Now, like, as far as, like, footwork, maybe if Floyd helped him with that here and there with in the last 2 months, we'll see how Tyron does in the ring. I just want to see how Jake's going to do it, like, in a serious fight for because a lot of people already feel like the last few fights that Jake was in wasn't really that serious compared to this. Like Nate Robinson, that's a huge difference. So we'll see what happens, but I'm definitely with Tyron.
I know for me, leading up to the fight, I know when it was first announced, the first thing that I know me and Keys talked about, I was like, I want to see who he trains with. If he gets with boxing folks, then I would give him a shot at winning the fight. Because you can't stick with your UFC sparring buddies and training partners when you're jumping into a boxing match. So when I saw that he was hooking up with Floyd, I was like, okay, so he's taking this thing seriously. And, you know, I think, you know, Floyd still got an axe to grind with Jake because of the hat thing leading up to Floyd's fight with his brother. So So him going to boxing people, I was like, all right. You know, I seen Tyron fighting the UFC, and he done knocked some guys out with his hands. But, of course, once again, the UFC, those are 4 to 8 ounce gloves, I think, or 6 ounce gloves, something like that. So that's a big difference. So, the one thing people really, really have to pay attention to is Woodley shouldn't gas out because the UFC, you fight 5 rounds, you know, 5 5-minute rounds. So I don't think his cardio should be an issue. I think hopefully not just working on his footwork, but head movement. He has to work on his head movement. Jake Paul has basically knocked everybody out with head shots. He really doesn't do a lot of body work. So hopefully Woodley has worked on his head movement. And Benny, he's training with one of the best defensive fighters of all time. I'm quite sure Floyd has hopefully said, Tyron, look, man, you got to protect yourself all the time. Keep your head moving. You know, don't become stationary. Do this, do that. Stuff that Floyd actually do in the ring. Although we're only talking about 8 weeks of training, 2 months of training, really. So, you know, I think we just got to temper our expectations on how good Woodley may look, even though Floyd is his trainer. And I think we just got to realize that he's only been training for this for eight weeks.
Especially since this isn't really tied around Woodley's world like that.
Yeah. What you got, Keys?
Yeah, so the thing is this. This is what I thought about. So obviously, Jake Paul's been boxing for like 4 years, 4 or 5 years. Maybe he was training a little bit longer than he was boxing. I don't know the exact numbers on it. I want to say he's been fighting. I don't know if we call it pro fights, but I mean, he's been fighting for 4 years. But I mean, he really hasn't fought a guy who can actually hurt him, though. Like, everybody he's fought was pretty much a joke of a fight. Like, it really being honest, like, all of us in here probably would have beat those guys that he beat to keep it 100 with you. I mean, Lee, I'm damn sure you still got a right hand in you that would knock out Ben Askren, too.
Yeah, Ben Askren was terrible.
Yeah, I think Lee would have caught Ben Askren in the pocket and put him down, too. So, and then that's not
Ben
knocking
Askren's
your boxing
terrible.
Skills, but that's just pointing out the fact that Ben Askren was really, he's never been a stand-up fighter, so it didn't even really make sense, that fight. And then, you know, he fought a basketball player, and then, you know, he fought some other bum from YouTube. I have no idea. But regardless of it, is that he hasn't fought anybody who's actually a threat. No, he didn't fight KSI.
I thought it was KSI.
No, he fought.
That was Logan.
Logan Paul fought KSI.
Yeah, that was the other brother, yeah.
Yeah. I
would have gave him credit for KSI. I think KSI is actually he seems like a formidable opponent. He can actually box KSI. I would have given him more credit if he fought KSI than for anybody he's fought. To be honest, I really would have. And people could call me a reach for that, but I don't think that's a reach. I think that's facts. Is that KSI probably would have beat all those dudes that Jake Paul beat. You know, KSI can fight, so and Jake Paul can fight. I'm not saying that. He knows how to box. He knows the fundamentals. But and he can catch Sean Woodley with them. You know, but just understand that regardless of the size of the gloves, whether the gloves is a factor on Woodley, I think the fact that when has Jake Paul been hit by a guy that can actually rock him? When is he? This would be the first time he gets hit by a guy, and he's gonna actually. We're gonna have to see him fight through that adversity. He hasn't even. He barely even been landed on.
True that.
So
he hasn't had an exchange. He hasn't had an exchange in the middle of the boxing ring probably since he's been doing this. I mean, a serious exchange where you give it and take it. You know, and those exchanges turn men into mice sometimes. When you got to sit there and take the best blow from a guy while you stand there and try to deliver your best blow. So I totally agree with you, Keith.
Like, man, you're starting to feel like Logan Paul got more of a legitimate resume than Jake. It's like you said, you respect KSI more than Jake's opponents, and Logan went from KSI to Floyd Mayweather.
I think KSI would go. Yo, somebody got to fix that mic, man. That you're killing me with that mic.
I think that's you, Rodney.
Really?
Yeah.
So.
All right, there we go.
So this is the thing, right? The thing is that I think KSI would be undefeated against the guys that Jake Paul fought, and I'm not much of a better man anymore, but I would bet a good amount of money on that. I think KSI would wipe the floor with all the guys that Jake Paul fought. So at the end of the day, if Jake Paul had fought KSI, that'd be the most legit fight on his resume to this point. And that would be, but now what's going to – damn, are you in a tornado, bro? You got to seek shelter, man. Don't be out there in the tornado.
You can hear the wind.
Yeah,
I'm going in. Go ahead, talk. I'll put it on mute.
I got new earphones. Is this good?
Yeah. You good? You sound good, Ronnie. Thank you. So this is what I'm saying Did you hear what I said? Oh, you were switching out your headphones. All right. So I was just saying that I think KSI would be undefeated against the guys that Jake Paul fought. And I'm not much of a betting man anymore, but I would bet a good amount of money on that, and I think I'd be right. So this is gonna be, you know, this is gonna be Jake Paul's first threat. You know, that's what I think. This is gonna be his first threat. This is gonna be a guy that, you know, he's gonna land on, and it's not gonna be the same thing as the other guys when he was landing on. Like Nate Robinson looked like he thought he was in a wrestling match. Like Nate Robinson thought he was. He thought he was getting into the wrestling ring, like the way he looked like he was shooting for a takedown.
Now you gotta let me get on this one because this is Nate Robinson. Because this is the basketball thing. Because this is about basketball fighters, basketball that with fights. We've seen Nate Robinson in fights on the basketball court. These guys don't really be fighting like that. They barely throw punches, and if they get close to each other, they mostly hug. It's not really often that they swing, and even if they swing, it's not too many times that they connect. So I didn't have that much faith in Nate in a boxing ring. I was rooting for him because I was a huge fan of him, but I didn't expect that much of him to be a specialist like the next Muhammad Ali in there in the boxing version, in basketball version. No, not even close.
Well, I'm gonna show Jake Paul support. Jake has stepped into this boxing thing, and he has really taken it seriously. And you could tell that with each fight, he got better. I think his respect for boxing has definitely showed in his training. At first, you know, man. I mean, looking at, you know, his opponents. Everybody knows it's kind of sort of like a money grab. I mean, Askren made $1 million. He would have never made $1 million on a fight in the UFC. I want to say Nate made like $500,000 on his fight. So, you know, a lot of these guys jump in there with Jake because they think that he's a – Jake has turned himself into a boxer. So you can't come in there with the mindset of you're fighting a YouTube guy turned to a boxer. Jake is actually a boxer right now. And I think Woodley, being that he's got with Floyd, shows that he's taking this fight seriously. And I like that. And, you know, man, when I sit back and I think about it, you know, man, I just want both guys to come out and put on a good show. I don't want Willie to come out there and look like Askren did or look like Nate. I want Willie to come in there professional, come in there, show why you're a UFC champion, you know, go in there, do your thing, you know, show us what you learned in your limited training with Floyd. And I think if he do that, man, we get a good fight.
I second that statement.
Yeah, you know, I just
my name is Roger Griffin.
Before.
I approve this message. Go ahead, Keys. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. I was trying to let you get whatever you get, you know, let you go too. So the thing that I'm thinking about is just like the extra weight. I'm not trying to, you know, Lee, you can't really expect me to come in here and try to tell you the reasons why I think Jake Paul is going to win the fight. You can't expect me to come in here and do that. I was never going to come in here and do that. So, and I'll tell you this. I'll tell you like this. In the past year, you know, I think to this point after a while, like a lot of Lee's strategies, the way he goes in objectively on a topic has grown on me and a lot of my picks. You know, and as a result of that, a lot of our picks have become the same. We started to pick fights the same. A lot of things we started to have the same thoughts on. But this is not a fight that I'm trying to be objective and say, oh, well, Woodley has never boxed. And, you know, because everybody's saying that. You know, I feel like everybody's going to say that. Like Jake Paul, betting favorite. Everybody's going to say, you know, Woodley hasn't boxed before. You know, da-da-da. Jake Paul has been knocking guys out, you know, whatever. But to me, all I see is Tyron Woodley's going in. He's coming back. You got to get out of the. Got to get back in the win column. He's going up to. He's going up. I think it's at 200 pounds, and I think he walks around like 205, 210. So he's pretty much at his regular weight for a fight, and barely had the cut weight. As where before he was like starving himself to death to get down to 170 pounds. So they're going to fight this fight at 200 pounds and. You know, we thought he had power at 170. I think his power is going to be a lot more, you know, of a threat at 200 pounds. I think you're going to see a lot more power. And in the training footage, he looks fast. He looks good to me. So I think Woodley is going to be very dangerous in this fight. Obviously, Jake Paul is dangerous too. He knows the game. He's a boxer. Woodley is not a boxer, but Woodley still breaks faces. Woodley broke faces until he won a world title. And then he won more world titles, breaking more faces. So it is what it is.
All right. Because I know that we're talking effectively right now. Because, you know,
that's what we... Bro, you sound really far away.
I don't want to say it, but...
I know we're talking objectively about this fight.
There we go.
I'm picking Woodley to win the fight.
I'm not talking objectively.
I'm picking Woodley to win the fight. I mean, as much as
I respect what Jake Paul has done,
I mean, as much as he's done in the boxing ring, I still like Woodley because Woodley is tried and true in a combat sport. And plus, with him teaming up with Floyd, made me lean towards him even more. Because he's taking it more seriously. So if I was betting, man, I would actually put my money on Woodley to win the fight. And I'm actually picking Woodley to win the fight. Hopefully it doesn't go to a decision because I think that the judges will probably give it to Jake Paul. So I'm hoping Woodley can somehow find a way to finish him so that it doesn't go to the judges. And I think when Woodley finishes Jake Paul, he steps into a new venture to this, another part of his career. Whereas now he can be the Jake Paul and say, hey, I want to fight this guy next, you know. But, you know, if he wins, they're going to do a rematch or whatever. But my gut is telling me Woodley wins this fight.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that it's, like I said, you know, Woodley, not a boxer, but he breaks faces for a living. So it is what it is. And destroys top-level fighters. So Jake Paul has never fought a top-level fighter. He fought, you know, guys that had never had it. Guys that never had a chance in the world at beating him. You know, he fought mismatches, you know, over a couple fights now. Woodley has fought the best guys there are. So,
Keys, yeah, can we trademark break faces? Can we trademark break faces? That was good.
Yeah,
I like that.
Have to.
I like that shit. Break faces.
Yeah, it's
okay.
True, man. Woodley broke faces to a world title run, and then won more world titles. So it is what it is.
I also wanted to add this too because I was watching like plenty of the all access and promos when Tyron and Jake was facing off, even before the fight was locked. That Jake's little trainer friend, whoever that was, that then you lose four fights prior to that, and I was like, I didn't even watch those four fights. Even I know those four fights are a lot more legitimate than the past three fights you were in. Like, those fights were probably like wars he went through that he just so happened to lose.
Yeah, he did fight.
He was going against
guys.
Like, yeah,
he
was going against
guys.
Like exhibitions that were just for fun and just for entertainment. Just throw that in there, but continue.
No,
it's not
facts.
About the fights.
I mean,
how many fights you had, who you fought. That's all I'm going to say. But continue. Win or lose.
Yeah, no, I think at the end of the day, a lot of people that, you know, are casual fans and don't really watch either sport, they might be like baseball fans and stuff, might come out and say, well, you know, this Woodley guy is 0-4 in his last four fights, and Jake Paul is 3-0 in his last two fights. But at the end of the day, you know, Woodley's fighting in MMA, but also he's fighting, you know, straight beasts. Like, Jake Paul, you know, would have went 0-4 in those four fights as well in MMA. So if you go in the reverse, Woodley would have demolished everybody Jake Paul fought. So, but at the same time, that's not really a feat to even say that. Like,
true.
And me even saying KSI would have beat who the guys Jake Paul fought isn't even really a feat for KSI, because it's not really a feat for anybody. Ben Askren don't fight with his hands. He's a wrestler. And Nate Robinson, you know, he puts out jump shots and stuff. I don't even know what he specifically does. He might be a point guard or something. I don't know. I don't know much about basketball, but
right. He's a point guard, but he's a small point guard. He's a three-time dunk champion. That's his specialty. He gets buckets and he knows how to dunk on people. Fighting it isn't. Fighting professionally isn't it?
Did he have a jump shot?
Yeah, he could shoot.
Yes, could definitely
get a jump
shoot.
Shot. All right, so
Nate.
All right,
Nate Robinson, the Chicago Bulls. Woo, Lee knows. Look at you.
So he had a jump shot and he was a point guard. I just went off top with those two things. I really didn't know. I didn't have a clue.
Nate is a legend. Trust me, Nate Robinson is a legend.
I swear,
5'9", but a three-time dunk champion. Trust me, Nate Robinson is a legend in our eyes. In the basketball world.
No, I get you. I'm not
boxing.
I get you. I'm not. Yo, people making fun of him, making memes when he got knocked out. I wasn't even making fun of him. I was just saying that I was kind of mad at him that he even, like, did a boxing fight. Like, he shouldn't have even went in there. I was kind of mad. I wasn't. But a lot of people wanted to make it a meme, but it wasn't even really memeable because, like I said, that wasn't a feat. You know, Jake Paul, like, to box in, that's not what he's known for. So, for him to go there, and that wasn't even a feat to get that. That was no success to me. And I just think here...
I thought I had you on mute. My bad. CM Punk is on. But in defense of that's just for the entertainment side. You looking at it as far as like the legitimacy of a win or a loss. Like that, I understand your point, but that's just for the jokes and stuff. And I was hurt because I grew up watching Nate Robinson. I used to love State of Nate.
And I was hurt because
Lee jump in, bro.
Training. Yeah, I was hurt.
Lee, you gotta jump in, bro. My bad.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you go.
Can you hear me? All right. I was just hurt because Nate didn't come in with the proper training. You know, stepping into the boxing world, you know, you definitely got to have a proper training because you can't get hurt in there. And, you know, and Nate just seemed like he was coming in there to collect a check, and he looked like that. Whereas when you watch Chad Johnson fight, Chad, you know, he actually looked kind of respectable, you know.
Chad wasn't bad at all.
Yeah, he protected himself. You know, he kept his hands up. You know, he exploited his opponent's weakness by not circling as much, throwing a jab, throwing combos.
And was against an actual boxer too.
Against a guy. I think he's like winless, but he's a true boxer. So I just thought Nate didn't come in with the proper training, with the proper mindset. And when you going in there and you're going to combat and going to war with somebody, you have to come in there taking it seriously or you might get hurt. And that's what happened to Nate. And that's also what happened to Ben Askren. So I think Tyron Woodley's going to come in there with the proper mindset because he's been a champion. I think he's not going to come in there being scared because he's fought in front of big crowds and big arenas on the biggest stage. He's been the main event in the UFC pay-per-view card. So I think Tyron Woodley is going to give Jake Paul probably his – and not even probably. He's going to give him his toughest fight to date. And like I said, I'm rolling with Tyron Woodley to win this fight, man. I just think he has everything in his toolbox to win his fight. And when he got Floyd in his corner, that really solidified it for me. I was going to pick him. If he wouldn't have got with boxing folks, I probably would have went with Jake Paul or being that Tyron is taking it seriously or going with Tyron, like I said, Tyron Woodley, man. And he's doing everything right. He's with boxing people, and that's the first step into winning these type of fights is you have to get out of your old mindset of what you're used to doing and get into the mindset of what a boxer would do. And I think Tyron Woodley has done that.
Lee, yeah, this kid is killing it. I ain't got to say nothing.
Yeah, and that, yo, you were saying that early on, is that when they first announced the fight, we talked about it. That was probably like a month or two ago, maybe a little bit longer. And you said that. You were like, you know, I'll probably go with Jake Paul in this fight. But you were like, unless Tyron Woodley can get with, like, boxing world champions and train with legit boxers in the game, boxing world champions. If he could go over there and do it the right way, you said, then you'd be more favorable to Woodley, you know, to win the fight. And that's kind of what ended up happening. And actually, he did it all the way. Probably went the best way that he could have went training with Floyd. You know, I think it couldn't have panned out much better than that. I mean, there's a couple guys he could have trained with. It probably would have, you know, been really good for him too, but I think that's probably the best way that you can go. It's like, might as well train with the best in the world.
All right, so Keys, let me ask you this, bro. Being that both of us are picking Woodley, right? Rodney, who you picking?
Oh, I got Woodley. Woodley.
Okay.
I'm not betting on a white man. No. No offense to Jake either, but I got to root for the brothers. All right, black
excellence
all day.
Look, so Keys, what are your keys to victory? Your keys to victory. You get that, keys to victory for Woodley?
Well, yeah,
I used to do the
article keys to victory back in the day. I think the keys to victory for Woodley is, I think probably the biggest one to me, because there's not too many things that I really think he needs to do. I mean, there's a few things, but I won't go off all of them. I'll just say my biggest one for him is not to throw himself out, you know, too early in the fight. I think that's probably the biggest key to victory for Woodley. Not throw out all your power, you know, in the first round and then be exhausted in the second round. I think that would be probably the most devastating route that he could take, the route that, you know, in this fight, is if he goes out, you know, throwing all his, you know, power shots, all his heaviest shots to try to get Jake out of there in the first round. I think that would be a bad move for him. Yeah, I think that would be a bad move. And and honestly, you know, to relate it, you actually pretty much saw McGregor do that when he fought Floyd. You saw McGregor go out there and throw all of his heavy shots in the first couple rounds. And if you remember,
yes,
McGregor said, and that's what he was planning. Yeah, he was expecting to get Floyd out of there by the fourth round, and that makes sense to why he said that, because you could see in the fight that's clearly what he was trying to do, and then it didn't work because after Floyd took a lot of those shots, a lot of those big shots landed on Floyd, but Floyd has a great chin. There's a reason why we never seen him get knocked. There's a reason why we've never seen Floyd get knocked down. There's a reason why we've never seen Floyd get knocked down before in the ring. He has a very great chin. He also doesn't get hit, but when he does get hit, he can battle through adversity. But that's what I don't want to see Woodley do, is throw all his heavy shots out too early, and then he's tired, you know, going down the stretch if need be. I'd like to see him pick his shots. You know what I'm saying? Be smart, but don't be afraid to attack at the same time. But don't chase. You know what I mean? Don't chase. Don't do too much.
Yeah, exactly.
But don't be afraid. Yeah. Don't be afraid, because at the same time, Rodney, you know, just for you, just a little bit of game to know what had happened. One of Woodley's biggest issues, you know, the reason why, you know, he fought and he lost those fights you were talking about before. One of his biggest problems in those fights was that he wouldn't let his hands go. You know, it looked like he had stage fright. Like he looked like he was ready to throw, but he just couldn't pull the trigger on it.
Oh,
it looked like he was frozen in time. And
like
every time he had
a big opening to throw a haymaker, he wouldn't go for it and just kept going with just the little punches. I guess.
Yeah, yeah. He just looked like he was surviving. You know, he was just doing, you know, enough to get through the fight or to lose a decision. But like he had opportunities, and like the old Woodley would have taken those opportunities. You know, when he saw an opening, or you know, when his opponent's chin is wide open, his opponent's chin is in the air, he drops his hand. Woodley would have taken that shot years ago. And that was part of the reason why, you know, he became so great. You know, some of those moments, he took his chance and he throws. And the thing is when he lands, guys go down. When he throws and he connects, it's devastating. It's absolutely apocalyptic.
He's the multiple-time champion for a reason.
It's apocalyptic when he connects with his hand. So it's disappointing to see him not let his hands go, and that was something that Lee was criticizing a lot about him, and he was right. But that's something that I hope to not see in this fight. The keys to victory, don't throw all your power shots and tire yourself out in the first round. And then two, but while doing that, don't be afraid to let your hands go. When you have the opportunity, take the shot. I don't think Jake Paul is going to be able to take the power. I think that's going to be the turning point of the fight. He's going to take a couple of big shots, and I don't think he's going to be able to get through it.
All right, Ronnie, what's your keys to victory, bro?
Okay. All right, well, my slick mindset as far as to winning this, definitely as far as stamina, I'm with Keys on that one. That's my biggest thing, because word to Nipsey, the marathon continues. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. You gotta be able to go the long haul, because you can't always expect to just not knock somebody out in the first, second, or third round. You never know how long the fight could go. You never know whether or not the match can go to a decision. I don't know how many rounds they're going. Are they going 12 or are they going 10? Either way, you never know if they're gonna go to that or go to the end. Be able to make sure you can last that long and not be worn out, because we all can tell And if the fans and the viewers can tell, most importantly, your opponent can tell. And your opponent will exploit that if your opponent is properly prepared for that. That's one. And two, kind of similar but kind of different to also what Keith's saying, don't be too eager to throw those punches. And when I say that, I mean it's like don't be too eager to, like, knock them out. Because, like, when you try to be too eager to knock them out, sometimes you'll miss the opportunity, or you'll not think clearly and think strategically to do what you have to do to be successful in your matches, and it'll cost you all your chances of beating them. Oh shoot!
Yeah, man. Oh, I was my key to victory is pretty simple. I want Tyron to come out calmly, patiently, use a head movement, establish a jab, hold on when you can, make Jake carry your weight around when you clutch it. You know, Jake hasn't been really clutched in a fight. Nobody has really held on to him that's really his size. If you look at Nate was a little guy. I think Woodley is probably going to, when he rehydrate, probably to a respectful weight where Jake won't be that much heavier than him. So I want to see Woodley come in and be very, very patient. Don't rush. And if Floyd is in his corner, I think Floyd is going to coach him that way. He's going to coach him to, hey, the first round, we're going to fill him out. We're going to throw the jab. We're going to use our footwork and head movement. And then in the second round, we're going to touch him up a little bit, you know, show him some things we didn't show him in the first round. And then, you know, hopefully Woodley cardio holds up going into the third and fourth round, where Woodley can start when he's definitely going to be more comfortable being in the boxing setting than, you know, in the earlier rounds. Because in the earlier rounds, you know, he probably going to still have it in his head of being a UFC fighter, whereas in the third, fourth, fifth rounds, he's going to be a boxer. So that's why I'm hoping Floyd is in his corner during this fight, not just training him, but hopefully being in his corner. Because I think having a guy like that in your corner calms you down in between rounds. You know, he going to tell you what he sees and what you need to do. And he knows your strengths and weaknesses. So he's going to tell you exactly what you need to hear to execute y'all game plan. So hopefully Floyd is in his corner. I think if Floyd's in his corner, it definitely gives him a good chance of winning.
And one thing I want to say, right? Just a couple of details, because a lot of this stuff I got wrong. First of all, the fight is going to be at 190 pounds. I thought it was being fought at 200. It's being fought at 190, which I still think is a great thing for Woodley to be able to.
Yep.
I think that's great, because if he's like 205, 210, and he only got to go down to 190, that's not bad. You know, a really fit – he might be 190 – you know, when he's working out and he doesn't have a fight, he might shredded. He might be down in the 190. You know, he might only had to go down a couple pounds to even get down to 190. So yeah, it's at 190. They're fighting with 10-ounce gloves, right? They're fighting with 10-ounce gloves, and it's eight rounds. The fight's eight rounds.
Okay, that's even better. That's even better for Woody.
Oh yeah.
I think eight rounds compared to 10. Yeah, I think because he's went five, he's had 25-minute fights in the UFC with one minute in between rounds. So, you know, I think that works out great for him. I think that works out great. Hey, Keys, can I drop a bombshell right now? I know a lot of people have been watching, you know, your boy Conor McGregor. train or rehabilitate from his broken leg or ankle. I think Conor comes back and his next fight is not in the UFC. I think his next fight will be Jake Paul. I think he comes back to boxing, not to MMA, and he comes back and he fights Jake Paul in his return bout because that fight is going to make him so much, much more money. And I think Conor feels deep down inside that he went the distance when that he kind of hung in there with Floyd, and that gave him great confidence in the boxing ring. And I think he comes back in his first fight is against Jake Paul. And would I be surprised? No, because I'm dropping it right now. I'm calling the shot right now. Thoughts?
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. Because Conor definitely is a ticket seller. Like we've seen off of the Floyd fight, off the promos and the Showtime access, All Access, etc. So doing that with Logan Paul or Jake Paul, one of the Paul brothers, like. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, and I wouldn't be surprised if he agreed to it. And honestly, I wouldn't mind watching it because I know they will be very entertaining to watch.
What you think, Keys? Did I break your heart?
Did I break your heart?
No. It didn't break my heart. I don't really care who he fights, but to me, it doesn't really matter. It's like I just want to see him stop chasing after guys that I don't feel like he can beat. So if he goes to fight Jake Paul, I'd actually be pretty happy about that. So you didn't break my heart. You might have mended it. You might have mended my heart with that.
That's funny.
Yes, sir.
That's funny.
Because I'm sick of seeing him on social media calling out Khabib and Poirier, guys that already beat him. Like, I'm sick of seeing it. It kind of just looks pathetic. So Poirier doesn't really want it, nothing to do with him. And Khabib's already retired. So if he could, you know, go, you know,
oh, yeah,
if he's
he
going to come
retired.
Fight the UFC, if he's going to go fight the UFC, I think the Nate trilogy should be next. I definitely think that's the fight to make for both guys. They're both kind of in a similar spot. They've been taking L's left and right, both of them. So I think that's the fight to make if he's going to do UFC. But I wouldn't doubt that, you know, what you said. I wouldn't doubt he comes back and fights Jake Paul. I can see that happen. Especially since Jake Paul created the Sleepy McGregor chain. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that was kind of he kind of went all in on that one. So, I don't know. McGregor might want to punch him in the face.
Yeah, that was disrespectful, man. I mean, I understand that what he was doing. He was used as a market employee, but that's one of the things that you guys know that I don't like about combat sports is the trash talk. Sometimes the trash talk is a little extra and it crosses the line a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, man, it is what it is, but that's been the game. But, I wouldn't have spent $100,000 on it. That's just me. I wouldn't have spent $100,000 to get another man's face put on my chain. I wouldn't have done that, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's definitely a troll, so, I mean, I'm not surprised he would have went and did that. But, the guy's going to, you know, I hate to say it, but he's going to get what's coming to him this weekend. So he's coming into a fight where, if you ask me, my prediction is Jake Paul's running into a brick wall with this fight. He's running into an absolute brick wall. He's going to get hurt very badly in this fight, and he might not box for a while after this fight. That's what I'm thinking. He might not box for a little while. So you know, you saying that he would fight McGregor, he might not be able to fight McGregor. He might not want to fight McGregor. His spirit is going to be broken. I'm not saying he's going to be unable to fight, but I think his spirit might be broken. He's going to get beat so bad, he's
going
to be so shocked.
He's going that far.
He might not want to show his face.
I heard that.
I went that far. He's going to run into a brick wall. He's going to get hurt very badly. He's going to be embarrassed.
That's just what it is. It is what it is. Like Max Holloway.
Hey, can I say this? I hope that they don't have Snoop Dogg and them on the call like they were during the last fight. I hope they have, like, a little bit of professionalism on the call this time. I mean, I know it's good entertainment.
Oh, so
can we
take it a little more serious?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because to me, you know, that's part of the fight. You know, when you're watching it, if you're not in the arena, is the commentary. And I thought that the commentary they had during the last fight, it was too much profanity for me. And it was just like, damn, you know, give us some insight into the fight. Why is he doing this? What's the purpose of him throwing this punch? That's the kind of stuff when you watch the fight that you want to hear. Like when you hear Andre Ward on the call, Andre Ward tells you, hey, he's throwing this left hook to set him up for the right cross. Because what your eyes can't see, you focused on the left, but your eyes can't see the right coming. And that's stuff that, like, when you watching a fight that you want to hear. You know, not, oh, man, this motherfucker doing this. Oh, man, he going to, you know, that ain't what I want for my commentary team. Although it's very entertaining, when I'm watching a fight, I want to actually learn from the commentary also. I hope I'm not being too nitpicky about that.
No, that's definitely understandable. When it's like a fight that they're painting a little bit more of a serious tone with, you definitely want serious commentators with that too. Like Snoop, you love Snoop as like the great uncle that you listen to while on the couch while like the game's on and he's commentating. You die laughing more on him commentating than what's actually going on in the fight. That's great, but when you're talking about serious fights, like Mariotti breaking down like the details of like, yo, when such and such does this, it always breaks down the opponent's right rib cage and they shut down and fold to the cord and technically this happens to the body, et cetera, et cetera. Like you love hearing that stuff. And you mostly hear that in more serious fights than in like comedy type commentary with Snoop. And I can understand it completely. And much as I love Snoop's commentary, I also love like serious commentary too. So I can't be mad at that claim at all.
Cool. I just didn't want to seem like I was nitpicking too much, but you know, I just think that sometimes, you know, I don't mind. Let's say if they had Snoop with like another boxing person, and then you had the play-by-play guy. If you had like three people like that, I wouldn't mind it. Because you get the comedy aspect, the serious aspect, and then you got the play-by-play guy calling the action in the ring. So I think the last time that they had this straight over the top, it was something to be desired, especially if you had young kids or, you know, whatever in the room, man. Like, everybody don't take to, you know, that kind of commentary the same way, but when you're dealing with Triller, you definitely got to come in knowing that it's going to be something that expected unexpected.
Yeah, I got you.
What? Who's on the commentary panel for this fight?
I haven't looked that up yet.
Well, I feel like it, I should look, probably let me look it up real quick because I feel like
I got my laptop here. Yeah, go for it.
Commentary.
You might know what to search for than I do. I was going to type with the commentary team.
Okay, it's going to be, I feel like I read it the other day. Pay-per-view broadcast plan set. I know Ariel Hawant. Bro, that voice is so annoying. But yeah, I'll keep saying it. That voice is so annoying. So, that little robot voice, man. Y'all, Blog Talk Radio, y'all gotta stop playing with me with that voice, bro. I'm done with that voice. So, anyways, the Blog Talk Radio, for real, I'm calling you out. It's not playing
hey, man,
with
that,
that voice.
Robot has, that robot voice has been driving Keys crazy all day today. You probably can't hear
since
me, right?
Before
right.
the show, man. Man, it's
yeah.
like, yo, Blog Talk Radio, if you can hear me, you're slowing our productivity down, all right? We've been supposed to get a lot more done by this point, and we didn't, because that voice keeps coming on and throwing me off my train of thought. It keeps throwing me off my train of thought. We were supposed to get a lot more done by this point in the show, and we didn't, because that goddamn voice keeps on trying to butt in. I didn't ask you to speak.
All right, man, who the commentary team?
I don't remember calling you into the show. I don't remember it. So, anyway, it ain't even worth my time. Lee, they're probably going to deactivate our membership after this episode. The admins are going to suspend us.
Remember when I went on that rant? now look at you, kid.
It'll be my fault. Maybe they'll let you on. They'll ban me, though. I'll be suspended off the show. They'll let you rock out, though.
That's funny.
Oh, man. Y'all crazy.
So did you find out who was on the commentary team?
Don't make me pull the file on you guys, Blood Talk. We in the cancel culture. I'll pull the file. I'll find something
Jesus.
So don't play with me. All you got to do is find a screenshot from 08 nowadays, and you can end the whole career. I'll put y'all out. So, anyways. Okay, so I know that Ariel Helwani is going to be in the ring. Lee, you know what I heard, too? Ariel Helwani is going to be in the ring after the fight. I think he's doing the post-fight interview like Joe Rogan usually does. I also heard Stipe, you know, the most dominant heavyweight champion in UFC history, the most title defenses in UFC history, you know, Stipe?
Okay.
Stipe is going to be, I think when they do the final face-off, I think the last face-off, I think it's going to be Stipe that's going to be, you know, playing like the Dana White role, that's kind of like holding them back. Since the fight's in, I think the fight is in Cleveland, so Stipe is going to be playing Dana White for that face-off, which is pretty cool. And then for the commentary, you have, let me see. No, it's not even telling me.
You got Brian Custer, Moro Ronaldo, you got Moro, and then you got Al Bernstein, and then you got Logan Paul is going to be on the commentary team as well.
AJ McGee is going to be a guest analyst as well.
Well,
from Bellator.
I pulled up for the main card, for the main event. So they actually going to have a serious commentary team, which is actually good news for me. But once again, all right, Rodney, how is Woodley going to win the fight? How do you have him winning the fight? We only got probably about a minute left. Actually, over.
I have him winning the fight off of just more of more strategy and a better corner.
So you got him winning by knockout, decision, TKO?
Oh, my bad. I would say maybe decision. Because I don't have 100% full confidence in him just yet as far as, like, his boxing skills. So maybe decision just for now. But I do have him winning.
All right. I got
I hope
him winning
be wrong and knocks him out.
I got him winning by decision also. Keys, how do you have Woodley winning this fight? Something like
that. I got Woodley winning by, I'm going rounds 4 or 5, either fourth or fifth round knockout.
All right, there we go.
Yeah,
all right, Keith, man, we kind of went over a little bit. You know, we talked about Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley fight coming up this weekend. Any last word, Keith?
Nah, I wasn't muted. I got my prediction off, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got it on?
Yeah.
All right, word, yeah. So You had Woodley by decision. Rodney had Woodley by decision. I got Woodley by either rounds four or five knockout. So that's, there it is, a sweep across the board. Usually every time that we unanimously pick a certain fighter on this show, Rodney, for your information, every time we unanimously a fighter and there's three people that pick the same, it's always the other guy that wins. That's not a good sign. That's not a good – it's really true. Every single time we do that, whoever we unanimously pick loses.
All right.
So,
I got
that's
Jake
not really a good
sign. Tyron Woodley is going to get knocked out by the first round. I volunteer as tribute to that Jake Paul is going to win by the first round. There. Problem solved.
Okay, all right. There we go. All right. Rodney's got Jake Logan in the first round. You got Jake Logan,
Jake Logan,
so here we go.
Jake Paul.
Yeah, you got Jake. So, all right, there's 2-1 now. And, no, I don't got any last words. Just, I appreciate you all for listening to the show. Rodney, thank you for calling in. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your week. Stay safe.
Thank
you
for having me.
Everybody, please, you know, try not to debate with people about whether they're going to get the vaccine, because I'm kind of – I'm pretty sick of having to have that conversation myself. So, yeah, I'm taking a step back from it. People could do whatever the hell they want. I don't really care anymore. So try not to debate it yourself, because it's really not worth your stress. And realistically, the situation's more or less out of your hands, so there's really no point of even you stressing about it. So that's what I think. Everybody do whatever you want to do and try not to get in arguments with people about it, because it's just it's kind of a waste of energy, to be honest. And, yeah, that's really it. Everybody enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the fights. Thank you for calling in, Rodney. So I appreciate you calling in. And, yeah, that's it. Floor is yours, Lee.
Yeah, like always, I'm closing the show. COVID is a real thing. You know, getting a vaccine is a personal choice. If you want to get it. If you don't. Still practice social distancing, wear your mask. Also, have a great weekend. Take care of each other. Take care of yourself. Positive people with positive energy give positive results. And as always, in closing, Lee and Key signing out. Hold on, before I go, shout out to Rodney for joining the show tonight. Been a while since he's been on.
Yes, sir.
He's been a day one-er. And that being said, we always end the show with a peace. Everybody be good.
Yes, sir. One love.
Peace.